You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freights from The Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective, the only podcast you crank up to 11.
Welcome to In the Key of Change Chats. Today's chat is with Dan of Real Friends from Vans Warped Tour. Let's give it a listen, because it's time for a change.
Here with the gentlemen of Real Friends, we are at the 87,000 stop of Vans Warped Tour. There's a day off coming up soon, guys. Almost there. In fact, the last day you had off, you spent it doing something awesome. You were at the Nashville Humane Society. Why did you choose to spend a very precious day off doing something so great?
Well, Journeys actually reached out to us about doing it. I think they came in contact with the Nashville Humane Association, hey, we should do something with a band. And we were the first band they reached out to. They were like, hey, you guys want to do this? We've done stuff with them in the past. We're like, yes, absolutely. So it was cool to be a part of. I don't know, it felt good. Like on the off day, felt like we contributed something, you know, so it was good.
What is it about animals that just makes for a great day?
I don't know. They like us and they don't judge us. And they're just great. They're fun. They really appreciate being able to get out of, because they're pent up all day and whatnot. So I just feel like it was just a really good time. It didn't really take too long. We got to just walk some dogs and play with some toys, and it was awesome.
I think that there's a kindred spirit there. You guys are kind of on tour buses every day, and then, you know, they're kind of in very close quarters as well. And y'all are just looking to have a good time. So it's a good way to spend the day. Why do you think it's how important do you think it is to use your platform to do something great like that? Like you said, you felt great at the end of the day. Using your platform to sort of, you know, bring attention to good things like the Humane Society.
Yeah, I think actually another detail with that too was that we were Fearless Records was kind of associated with that as well and helped organize it. And they actually covered specific dogs that we did some videos for and stuff, like kind of shout outs, like, hey, this is, you know, come adopt from Nashville Humane. They were actually able to cover the adoption fees too. So, which was cool. And we kind of put that word out there on social media and stuff. And I think at this point, I'm pretty sure that all the dogs were adopted that we did videos for. So that felt good too, to kind of like what you're saying, like use our platform in a way of like, you know, and maybe someone saw, like we posted a video, maybe someone saw that and it's like, oh, I want to get a dog. You know what? I think I'll adopt a dog. You know, you never know the impact you can have.
And social media can be a good thing or a bad thing. I feel like in 2018, it's like this really scary thing. You go on Twitter and you're like, oh God, what am I going to see today? So using your platform to, you know, raise awareness for, you know, needy animals, I think is a great use of that platform. What are some other causes that you use your platform to reach out about?
We do work with mental health organizations. Like there's one specifically from the Chicago area where we're from called Hope for the Day. They're specifically a suicide prevention organization. And we just like to raise awareness, you know, that it's okay to, you know, see professionals and reach out to people and get help and take medication, whatever you need to do to get in a more healthier headspace and whatnot. I think that's really important just because me specifically, like I see a therapist, a psychiatrist. I went through an intensive outpatient group therapy program and it's a lot to deal with. And if it's something where I can take what I've had to go through and kind of translate it to the band and to other people so that they can feel more comfortable to take the step or feel okay with having to do that, you know, when they might feel broken or messed up because of it, you know, it's nice to do.
We love Hope for the Day. They're good friends of ours as well. They are real friends of ours too. I think young people in general tend to turn to music when they're having a tough day. Why do you think that is?
I think with music, it's just like, I mean, I think we've all have experienced it. Like I still experience it a lot. Like I'll listen to a song and there will be a lyric that comes up and I'm like, oh, I feel that, you know? And I think that's always been a big goal of our band is to like, I mean, I feel like that goal kind of never changes. It's always at the top of the list of like being able to connect with people, you know, like there's been people that have mentioned our songs that aren't even about what they're going through have helped them. And I think that's a really like unique thing about music. And like, there's always that beauty of it there, you know, like, you know, we've been doing this for a long time and it's like, sometimes, you know, like now we're on Warped Tour, we're tired and we're like, all right, getting that off day. And it's like, it's those little things like that, that really show that there's always a light shining through, you know, with being in this band and just being involved with music in general.
I like that. About 2 weeks ago, you released a new album, Composure. Speaking of that kind of idea of things that you didn't really realize resonate with other people, how do you make things that are sometimes personal in your lyrics kind of universally understood or accepted? So it's not so pinpoint to that moment in one person's life.
I'm not really exactly sure, because at least from, I mean, I feel like from both of our perspectives, we just write about whatever's happening or certain points in time and whatnot. And I think that that's what everybody does. They just draw from their own personal experiences. And I'm not really sure what is able to make it so universal and so personal, but I think it's just, if the feeling is there, the core, you know, emotion, that people will be able to connect to it. And I think that there's some bands that are a lot more specific than others, and some are, can get more of a vague point across, but I'm not really sure how it, you know, I feel like maybe Kyle might have a better answer.
I do think, and I don't want to say there's like a formula, but I know there have been times where we're writing, you know, where it is like, oh, like maybe keep it a little vague, you know, because you do want the listener to kind of come up with their own definition of the song, you know, kind of like what I mentioned earlier, kind of connects to that. But I wouldn't say we like paste that over all of our writing, like, oh, you can't mention this detail, or the, like, let's keep it so everyone hears and relates. It's not really like that. I mean, I think at times there are points, you know, where we have, you know, thought of that, but I think it just kind of, like Dan said, like if the emotion's there, the connection's there, you know.
I think good songwriting gets that across as well. Just solid, good, you know, good songwriting. With new music out, what role do you feel music streaming has on a new release?
It has a big impact, because the thing with music streaming is that somebody could pay the price of, say, like a vinyl LP every month to have access to
everything.
Literally everything. I mean, I feel like it's playing a very big role. I mean, album sales are very down, and, you know, I don't think necessarily people have the money anymore to be able to spend on albums and whatnot. But I think that there is a lot more creativity, I guess, in the streaming market, and a lot more cross promotion. So while you may not be generating as much revenue, there's a lot more, you know, ability to put people on playlists, to, you know, you just share a link instead of having to like burn a CD, give it to somebody, and you can listen to it on your phone, on your computer. It's just across a lot of different platforms, and it's there. It's instantaneous, you know.
Do you prefer or focus or care more about music streaming, or is there still a focus on regular terrestrial radio, or is it sort of a little bit of everything?
I think with us, I think really over the past like 2 years, we've really been on like a Spotify kick of like, cause like if we post on social media, like about streaming or like just about a song, like, hey, here's a new song, like we always post a Spotify link. Like, I feel like it's almost a universal like streaming service now, you know. Apple Music too, I mean, is a big one, but I feel like Spotify, it's just, at least from what I've seen, our fans like really know it, you know. I mean, there's kids today, even I'm like, hey, want to buy a CD? Like at the merch tent, they're like, oh, I have Spotify. I'm like, oh, okay. You know,
like, we have new music out. Where can I get it? Or where, you know, is it on a playlist on Spotify? I feel like that's like a direct question after it of like, oh, new music, where can I stream it?
Yeah. And I'm a huge Spotify user. Like I used to just search stuff. And then like a year ago, I got really big into like the playlists and stuff. And like, they make playlists like for you. And so, and I think that's so awesome. And like, I've even posted about it on our social media before to people like, hey, look at this. This is awesome. like I usually, when I go on Spotify now, I don't even have to type in what I'm going to listen to. Like, I literally go to like there's like a discover thing, and it's like, usually there's an album. I'm like, oh yeah. Like, I haven't listened to that in a while. Like, I've never listened to it on Spotify, but somehow it knows that I want to listen to this.
It's a fun rabbit hole to get trapped down. You start listening to one thing and end up in a completely different genre, but it all makes sense. And it's all, you know, they know what you like somehow. I don't understand. What role do music videos still have in 2018? We still don't have a channel that likes to play them 24 hours a day anymore that I kind of miss.
I don't know. I think they're a nice little, for lack of a better term, I guess a little Easter egg, like something a little extra to give to the fans. I mean, I still think that they play an important role in not just visual aesthetics for a song, but to convey a different meaning. Because a lot of the times the music video directors will write treatments, sometimes in collaboration with the band, sometimes on their own, to be able to give an extra meaning that the band might not have even thought about. Just like a listener may have their own meaning from a song that can be completely separate from somebody, from either somebody else or somebody in the band, whatever have you. So I think it's just another opportunity for somebody to have their own translation of it.
Any plans to make more music videos for the new album?
As of now, not really. I mean, we did one for our song, From the Outside. And we were really stoked on the way that turned out. And like Dan said too, it was like, it kind of had that alternative meaning, you know, like the underlying sort of emotions were still there, but it's like a total different meaning than what the song was actually written about, which I think is just adds that layer of depth.
Absolutely. So what's up next for y'all after Warped Tour?
A little time off, hopefully some more touring, just taking it easy and being able to find a nice balance between home life and band life.
Absolutely. Balance is very key. Stay tuned for much more from Real Friends. This is Jackie. Thanks to Chorus FM and In the Key of Change.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living. And every week, I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others. Photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici. And I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.